We're talking with Nicole Matthews Creech, who is a director of the Livingston Diversity Council. Also, Ellen Lafferty, who heads up the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor Area Brighton Howell Area Geographical Unit. An event coming up April 6th, that's a Tuesday, from 7 till 8 p.m. at the Hal Carnegie District Library. This is called Learning from Our Past to Create a Better Future. So, Nicole, let's start with you. Tell us, exactly, just if you can, a thumbnail sketch of what the evening will be about.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about the program. I want to thank Ellen and her group of League of Women Voters for lifting up this topic and allowing, partnering with us to move this information forward to our community. The event is scheduled to be, a brief look into the Livingston Diversity Council as it currently sits today, to allow for people to see the history of the council, where things started and where we are at now, as well as and looking at that in reference to the greater picture of where our community was and where our community is with regard to diversity, equity, inclusion, and access work within the Livingston County area. We know that it's a challenge for all of our communities that we're all facing. And Livingston County has, much like other communities, but Livingston County specifically has a history, has an identity that has been linked with some pretty severe extremism with regards to racism and other forms of oppression. And while those extreme cases of racism and hate crimes are not commonplace in the community on a day-to-day basis, the existence of racism, heterosexism, oppression, and utilization of power still exists in many different forms. And in order for us to move forward, we really have to look at where we've come, the missteps along the way of where we are now, and the lack of attention that has been paid to these issues.
So you mentioned, taking a look at our past and then as a method, a pathway to look forward. I think when you talk about our county being linked to some pretty extreme individuals, no name comes to mind more, I think, than Robert Miles.
Right.
Former, Klan leader who had a property north of Howell in Cahokta Township. Now, he passed away in 1992, but all these decades later, Livingston County is still inextricably linked with the Ku Klux Klan. And because of that legacy, on the evening of the 6th, when you start to talk about this, how do you plan to, portray that legacy and how the county has moved on or hasn't moved on?
Right, right. And I think, and it's complicated when we talk about these things. It's all very complicated. People are in different places with regard to their thoughts and their linkage to the history. And I think for a long time, a lot of our community has, especially in the last, recent years, have really tried to push that aside and say that was then. We're no longer that way. And while that would be lovely, in order for that to be pushed away, it needs to be acknowledged and it needs to be addressed. And again, I think that, while the extreme behaviors of Robert Miles and his groups and the actions that were taken out of his location in Cahokta Township, are not here anymore, and the extreme things that happened then don't happen today, the thoughts, the fears associated with diversity, equity, inclusion, the stereotypes, the misinformation about all of that still really exists. So it's difficult to say that doesn't exist anymore when those attitudes and belief systems are still in place. So the actions are different. The actions of racism and oppression and heterosexism are different now, but they still exist. And although I know they're termed things like microaggressions or stereotypical. To take the sting out of the word, it's still rooted in racism. And so it's really important to look back, acknowledge where those pieces existed in our community, how that has changed but hasn't changed, right? And addressing, so we talk about it and we say we are no longer that community. I quite often hear that, especially when there is something that happens within the community, as it does in a lot of communities. Again, Livingston County is not alone in that. But when it happens in Livingston, the knee-jerk reaction of the majority of our community is to say, that's not who we are. This is a small group of people. And that has always been the case. Extremism has always been a small group of people, but it's the community that either through its actions or through its inactions don't address that extreme behavior.
Well, and I guess on this particular issue, you know, there's perception and then there's reality. So the reality is, you know, are there open Klan meetings and cross burnings in Livingston County? The answer is no.
Right.
The perception, though, and largely outside Livingston County, is that, yes, there is. And I think we saw this. I know I saw this last year when there were the racial justice demonstrations, one of them in downtown Howell. And, you know, when I tweeted out a short 30-second clip of folks on the courthouse lawn in downtown Howell kneeling saying, "I can't breathe," which they said for nearly 9 minutes in tandem with George Floyd's murder, you know, that clip went viral in the sense of all the comments from people of color and other communities who just said, "Yep, that's Howell. I can't believe those people would do that in Howell. Boy, that's Klan country. Those people are in danger. I hope they got out of there safely." It was really eye-opening to see that being the common perception that in Livingston County, the Klan is openly rolling down the road. And yet what you've just said, I think, is also a very key point to still be made, which is, while that may not be true, the attitudes that underlie all that are here as well. And you can't dismiss you can't dismiss one and not dismiss the other. So you have to examine both.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Well, and I think that, you know, people's experiences speak for themselves, right? We still, again, while we don't have those larger scale things happening that are massively public, you know, we still have destruction of personal property that is targeted against certain populations within Livingston County. We still have students who are experiencing daily comments, daily hate and discrimination. We have folks that don't feel that they're listened to when they talk about their experiences. And so while these larger community actions are no longer taking place in a public forum, the insidious nature of racism still very much exists in the day-to-day interactions of community members with people either inside the community or with those outside of the community.
Well, you know, you hit upon an interesting point of, I think when we, as you mentioned earlier, we hear the refrain of, you know, "Hey, that's not who we are." Mostly the people saying that are the white majority in this county. And yet, as you also alluded to, many instances and many testimonies from communities of color and other minorities who say, "Yeah, my experience differs. I have a different experience than the one you think I do." In that regard, the event on the 6th, and I don't want to get too bogged down on this particular issue because I think it's going to be a broader discussion, I'm assuming.
Yes, we have an hour, so. I don't know how much we can get into the weeds, which of course is kind of the point of this conversation, as well as to lead us into those more in-depth conversations later on. This is just the start of something. This is not the end-all conversation, right? This is just a very broad stroke, 10,000-mile overview of where things stand today in the county and opportunities to engage with other folks to be a part of something bigger and something better for our community.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for those that visit our community.
So maybe this would be a good point to bring in Ellen Lafferty. Again, you head up the local chapter of the League of Women Voters. How did you get involved in this? Why did you decide to help sponsor this event?
Well, thanks, John, for hosting us today. And, Nicole, it's a pleasure to work alongside you on this event. One of the members of the Livingston Diversity Council is also a League of Women Voters member, and that is Claire Donovan. And she's going to be one of the co-hosts on this event on April 6th. And Claire is always pointing out that the League, although it has the DEI policies in place, that we're making greater effort nationally and statewide to share these policies. It's talk until you do the walk. And we're trying to be more reflective of who our community is. And by having these conversations with the Diversity Council and trying to expand our messaging there will hopefully entice more people to join us and also reflect our community. It's not women. It's all genders, all age, all abilities, all social dynamic, economic, whatever that is. We welcome them all. But again, back to what Claire would focus on is that we need to take a moment to review our own policies and also to expand that to any organization in Livingston County listening to this forum will take some time to review their own DEI policies. So it's a matter of getting that conversation out there to the Livingston County community and hopefully show us as a more welcoming community than this past conversation doesn't quite reflect that.
DEI would stand for Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Policies.
Yes.
Yeah. So please go ahead and finish your thought. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, oh, no, that's okay. So the League of Women Voters has just celebrated its 100th year as an organization. Actually, it's 101st year. But it wasn't without its unsavory past that, you know, it seems that women earned the right to vote, but pretty much it was white women who earned that right to vote. And it, not until the Voting Rights Act, I want to say the 1960s, did that finally remove all barriers for all women to vote. And so even the League itself has its own negative history where it just ignored those whose contributions of people whose work has been ignored or diminished just because of who they were. And so the League is always looking internally at its own practices and actions, and we truly want to learn every step of the way, it's hard to just sit and listen. And we're hoping to be a part of that conversation as well as listening to the Diversity Council on April 6th and seeing what we can take from that and apply it to our own organization.
So, Nicole, you know, as Ellen just mentioned, even their organization's own history, being able to look back on that and reflect on it as a path forward, certainly a model for what your hope is intended for the beginning of this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, Ellen speaks from her experience with League of Women Voters, and I think that, you know, should the time come that other organizations can take the time to look at the way things are set up within their organization. I think, my experience in talking with other organizations locally in the county, there is a move to start looking within. And I think people are surprised to hear, feel, see that their internal policies, procedures, practices, although the intent when they were set up was not to be exclusive or to disclude anyone or to not address issues, but I think that the impact of those is now not lost on those organizations, that they are starting to see that, you know, while the intent of, you know, not, let's say, hosting their public forum meetings during the day is great because it works for their current group of folks, that works for their current community. But it unintentionally discludes other folks who have some very valid voice and very valid experiences that could lend themselves to that conversation. So while the intent was not to disclude someone who might have kids or who might work outside the county or who might, be a school teacher or something like that, the impact is that those folks cannot participate in open forums like that because they just of the logistics, right? And so it's really looking at those intentions, and it doesn't really, in the end, it doesn't matter what the intention is. What matters is that impact and how we are being able to be inclusive of all of those voices, and especially lifting up voices of those who have been silenced in a lot of these discussions and these decisions over our past history.
You know, a phrase we're hearing quite a lot these days is the notion of cancel culture. Mm-hmm. So when something is brought forward, is deemed to no longer be credible, appropriate, there seems to be a pushback using that phrase. So when you talk about, say, organizations who have policies that maybe were put in to be they weren't intended to be disclusive, and yet that's their practical effect. And so when somebody says, hey, maybe we should relook at these policies, or maybe we should relook at how we frame things, because now it's perceived differently. Now we understand how this now can be interpreted by others, not just a particular group, but by a wider range. I'd just like to get your take as head of the Livingston Diversity Council on just the idea of cancel culture and how that is used almost as a shield when things are brought up, like, gee, we really need to change this. Oh, cancel culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think, so my first response when people talk about cancel culture is almost always, that's really scary to me. I think that in this moment where there is recognition among folks and understanding that difference between intent versus impact, that people need to be given the opportunity to right a situation. That doesn't mean that they should not necessarily be held accountable for the actions that led them to the situation that they're in, whatever that might be, whether it was a comment or a tweet or a policy that inadvertently excluded folks. That it doesn't mean that they shouldn't be held accountable for those pieces. But I also think and believe, and I think the only way to get through this is to believe in the capacity of ourselves as humans to make those changes, to learn from our mistakes, to better ourselves. And again, I think that, that kind of actually goes back to the topic of the conversation for this April 6th session is, looking back to our past to create a better future, that we have to look at our missteps. We have to be able to acknowledge that and move forward and understanding that we can make that change. In some situations, do I think that people absolutely need to pay for or be held accountable for their actions, their inactions, that there might be restitution that's made or something like that? Absolutely. Do I feel that at some point they've been given their opportunity and they're done? I don't know. It's a struggle for me, for sure. And I think it's a very personal and very specific to the situation, which is really not a great answer to your question, John.
Well, it's a nuanced concept, so obviously there has to be a nuanced answer to it.
I cancel culture scares me for sure, because I think that does not leave room for us to make change. That it says that some people can't change. I think that's a slippery slope for us to walk down.
Yeah, I brought it up only in the context of, as you were saying before, when people say, oh, this is not who we are. And it's sometimes that is, again, used as a shield to, I don't want to have this conversation. It's not who we are, and move on. Let's not talk about it anymore. And I guess with the cancel culture, sometimes I feel as if people who, when you say, hey, this is you know, how we frame something, you know, 10 years ago to call a football team the Redskins was at least in the, popular culture, no big deal. Obviously now, yeah, that's a big deal. And we don't do that. But people who still kind of roll their eyes and go, and use it as a shield, that same way that the that's not who we are shield. Is sort of deployed. So I see them related in that sense, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah. In terms of the event on the 6th will be a little bit more focused than that. Ellen, I know that the League of Women Voters, you know, is obviously an organization that will advocate for legislation in terms of things that will increase civic engagement. And I'm just curious, while we do have you here, on this topic, in this arena, is there anything that the league is working on, or anything that you yourself think, might be something that could tie in or be helpful to this?
Well, the league today is working on so many aspects right now. We're just finishing up a lame duck study, and we're going to create a position on the lame duck actions used by our legislators on both sides of the aisle historically. And so that's a huge project they're working on right now. Also, the redistricting commission and what their work is going on, making those fair maps in Michigan. We have an event later in April. But as far as this topic right here, we've taken a survey of our own membership, kind of like a baseline to see who we are, what is our gender, financial status, age, and so forth. And that's kind of like our baseline. Then 5 years down the road, we're truly going to have some expansion of our membership to hopefully include more of who our community is. And we're going to take a before and after look at this. And we truly have to look inwardly and what practices do we have in place that are hopefully not excluding or perceived to exclude anyone in our group. I want to say that I mentioned earlier to Nicole that just our name alone, the League of Women Voters, is, exclusive. We do have gentlemen in our men and women in our organization, but it doesn't reflect that in our name itself. And so, again, we're looking at our own group and see how we can be more representative of this community in the Livingston County area. And this event on April 6th will just be one of many steps to do that. We hope to host and co-partner with the Diversity Council at any future event, and we'll see what happens from there.
So, again, the event's April 6th, we said, from 7 to 8 p.m. I think we should mention, I don't know if I did, this is a virtual event. It will be held online, so folks can participate via Zoom. And registration's already underway, correct?
Yeah, registration, it's through all a number of ways you can register, but it all ties into the Howell Carnegie Library's community events calendar. And folks can also check the Livingston Diversity Council's webpage, along with our Brighton Howell area, the League of Women Voters webpage as well. And I'm sure our Facebook sites have that information as well.
And Nicole, there'll be you're going to make a presentation, and then there will be a chance for folks to participate with a question and answer session.
There is a question and answer session scheduled for that as well. And so if folks are coming into the event with questions, those can be also submitted ahead of time. And so we can hopefully address those as time permits. That's always really tough, right? This is the start of a conversation, and it gets people really thinking and talking, and that hour goes by so fast. But we hope that it will engage others and get people thinking. And, you know, there's lots of ongoing communication and conversation that's happening within the council and our various committees. So hopefully we'll be able to filter some of those questions after the fact as well, if we can't get through all of those.
You know, we're almost out of time here ourselves. So, you know, as you mentioned before, having an hour, it seems like, boy, you've got a lot of ground to cover in an hour. I'm assuming this will be the first of several events.
There's definitely some follow-up events planned, not necessarily in the same way with the library or the League of Women Voters. We are working on an event, hopefully, to be occurring within the next couple of months. May is what we're looking at, is in conjunction with the Livingston County Chamber Alliance and engaging folks in those conversations. And then, honestly, there are weekly, monthly conversations that are happening in committee work and things like that. So this is certainly just the beginning, the bird's eye view. And from these events, we always find new ways or new needs for folks to gather and have these conversations. So, you know, we're always open to ideas of ways to continue those conversations as well.
Yeah, I that's a great point you bring up about the Diversity Council, in that, you know, if people are not aware that it exists, and even if they do, the fact that it is an open forum, the public is welcome to attend those meetings and offer their input, or even better yet, become a part of the council.
Right, absolutely. The best way to do that is to check out our website, which is easy, livingstondiversity.org, and then there's a tab on membership. Click on that, and it gives you all information, as well as how to join as a member.
And Ellen, I don't want to leave without giving you a chance to plug the league as well, because I think you operate on a similar platform.
Yes, we do. We have our Facebook page, and also you can just look for the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area, Brayton Howell Geographical Unit. Seems like a long name, but hopefully we're soon going to transition to the League of Women Voters of Livingston County and just keep it nice and clean and simple. That's coming down the road for us. But again, folks can register for this event through the Howell Carnegie Library's community calendar page. But I'll also be personally sending out invitations to many of our community leaders that I hope will take part in joining us for this evening and just perhaps take a second look at their own actions or inactions here in Livingston County. I'm proud to be aligned with the Diversity Council, who I think is just a shining light in this county, especially after our history that we talked about earlier. And it's nice to know that we're moving in a forward direction versus stirring and staying back in our past. It's good to move forward.
Mm-hmm. That's the best direction, for sure.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Ellen Lafferty is head of League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area, Brighton Howell area geographical unit, hopefully soon to be the League of Women Voters of Livingston County. And I will cheer that change as well, Ellen.
Me too.
And Nicole Matthews-Creech, director of the Livingston Diversity Council. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.